Hello and welcome to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar, and it's a true joy to be here with you tonight. Thank you so much for joining me. We have quite a great show planned for you tonight. Starting off talking about autoimmune diseases, and being that they are on the rise, according to the National Institutes of Health, 7% of the population in America suffer from some form of autoimmune disease. Is it the toxins in our water? Is it the toxins in our air? Is it the soil? Is it the electromagnetic frequencies? We've got 5G that's coming, and these microwaves are higher frequencies than the body was originally designed to handle. It's even these are higher ranges that are normally filtered out by the Earth's atmosphere. So how does this all connect? How do autoimmune disease and dysfunctions connect? With my guest, Dr. Tom O'Brien. He is kind of the Sherlock Holmes for chronic disease, and he teaches that recognizing and addressing the underlying mechanisms that activate the immune response is really the map to the highway towards better health. So we're going to be joined by Dr. Tom O'Brien. I'm very excited because he's just a wealth of knowledge, Tom is. And we will do that after the break. We'll be right back. I am Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Gar, and my guest today is Dr. Tom O'Brien. He released a really brilliant series called Betrayal, and it's betrayal of your autoimmune system. Why is our immune system betraying us? The autoimmune disease solution they're not telling you is the actual subtitle to that, but it is about why our immune system, that's originally designed to protect us, begins attacking our own tissue. That's what autoimmunity is. And over 500,000 people have watched this docuseries so far. It's called betrayaldocumentary.com. You could find it there. Welcome, Dr. Tom O'Brien. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Absolutely. I've been impacted by your messages for so long. My family and I'm in your gluten-free world. So I know that you were just named. You just got a big honor as one of the top 30 worldwide experts on gluten sensitivity. Congratulations. Round of
Oh,
applause.
thank you for that. That was a pleasant surprise. I didn't know
Yes.
that was happening. And oh, look at this. Isn't this great?
I know. Fantastic. It was just announced today. So let's talk about autoimmunity. Why is it climbing at such rapid rates?
Well, that's a really good question to start with because, if we understand that the immune system in our bodies is the armed forces there to protect you, there's an army, there's a navy, there's an air force, a marines, a coast guard, IgA, IgG, IgE, IgM, white blood
Right.
cells. There's many different branches of the armed forces, the immune system, to protect you. So when you have a manifestation of the immune system that's attacking your own tissue, it's not an immune system that's gone crazy on you. It's the armed forces being activated trying to protect you. And that's a paradigm shift for people when they realize that, because then you understand you don't want to stop your armed forces from protecting you.
Right,
You want to ask you want to ask the question, why is the armed forces activated right now? What are they trying to protect me
in the
from?
first place, right? But don't they get fatigued? I mean, armed forces after line after defense, after 30, 40 years of this, don't you burn through the armed forces?
Well, for many people, that does happen. And then here comes cancer, or
Right.
here comes one of these other autoimmune diseases. When the immune system is so taxed and working so hard to protect you that you start to go into fatigue, a primary manifestation of immune system fatigue is cancer. We've all got cancer cells in our body. Everybody does. It's just that the immune system keeps it in check. But when your immune system gets fatigued because it's working so hard to protect you from so many different things, then cancers can rear their ugly head.
Yes, so that's a huge step there is cancer cells
Huge.
exist in our bodies all the time. It's what activates them from the
Yes.
external influences, not necessarily even the internal influences, not genetics. It's external influences.
Correct. You know, we know that, I mean, some doctors say, well, it's your genes. You know, when people come to see them and they say, well, it's just genetic, nothing you can do about it. Nonsense.
Such a common
Absolute
misconception.
Nonsense.
Yes, yes, yes. That
you
is
know,
very nonsense.
The studies show that about 30% of the genes we have dictate what happens to us in terms of diseases, but 70%, the vast majority, is influenced by what's called epigenetics, what happens around the genes, the environment around the genes. What's going on in your heart muscle right now, or what's going on in the brain, in the protective barriers of the brain? The epigenetics, the things that happen around the genes, either turn the gene on or turn the gene off. And for many of these genes, we want to keep them turned off.
Now, can something like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, 5G, affect these cells? Can that be considered the epigenetics that affects our cells because of the high frequency of it?
There's absolutely no question. You know, there are four different categories. If people understand these big pictures first, then you can dial down into specific topics like this 5G topic, which is a hot one right now and a very important one for people to understand some basics about. The big picture is that there are four different categories of triggers that activate our immune system and can cause disease. The first one is, I think of it like a pyramid. There are four sides to a pyramid. No, there's three. No, there's four. There is the base, the foundation, and that's your structure. And that's the home of chiropractic and massage and yoga and chairs and how you sit in chairs and you walk around in high heels, throwing your back out of balance, and car seats, is the car seat angling way backwards, and the world of structure. The next one is biochemistry, and that's what we eat and we drink and the air we breathe, and that's the one that most of us focus on exclusively when something's not right in our body. We go to the biochemistry, what can I take to get rid of this?
Right.
Is how we think about it. And sometimes it's really important to deal with biochemistry, like with food sensitivities.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're eating and things like that. The next one is the emotional or the spiritual side of life. And we've all heard of stinking thinking. And that can manifest in any disease, may be triggered or fueled by how we think about our lives and how we look at life. And the last one that's just come out in the last 30 years, never before have humans had to deal with this, is electromagnetic pollution.
Yes.
So there are four categories.
Yes.
And every one of them are very important to have a big picture understanding. And there's a lot of conversation right now and a lot of science. I have personally over 100 studies on the dangers of 5G and the impact of 5G. And that's just me personally, and I'm not a 5G expert. I'm a functional medicine expert of how the world we live in is affecting our body.
And this is a huge piece of it. How does that, though? How does it, if 5G, affect our body? I kind of mentioned that it's a totally different frequency than the body, but I don't know the exact terms.
Yes. Well, our brains and our nervous systems actually run on electromagnetics, and it's somewhere between 2 and 20 gigahertz, or G, 2 to 20 G. So 5G comes in here, and if we're exposed to it, this electromagnetic pollution that we're exposed to alters the communication that's going on in our bodies. It interrupts that communication. I'll give you an example of how I was first exposed to this whole world.
Okay.
My very first week in my medical education, my very first week, January 1978, I had just started classes. I had moved to Chicago to go to school, and I saw that there was a guest speaker coming on campus, Dr. Sheldon Deal. Mr. Arizona was going to be speaking on campus. I said, oh, all right, guy's a bodybuilder. He's probably a healthy guy, and he's a doctor. Yeah, I'm going to listen to what he has to say. So I went to the talk, and he had a color television in the room, and he had it turned on, but the volume off, so you could just see the picture. Walks over to a table, opens his briefcase, takes out a magnet, a bar magnet, that's about the shape of an iPhone, holds up this bar magnet, and walks towards the color television, holding it out in front of him. The picture on the television turns upside down.
Wow.
He walks away from the television, it goes right side up. He walks towards the television, it goes upside down. He walks away, it goes right side up. And he says, that's what electromagnetic pollution does to your brain and your nervous system.
Oh, my goodness. And
that's what's happening to people that say right when they mean left. They draw the number 3 backwards, or they're confused when they say the opposite of what they mean. It's called neurological switching. And this was 1978. And what he was talking about was batteries in watches, which was a fairly new thing. Been around for a few years by that point. But putting a little battery on your wrist can alter your brain and nervous system function. That was the example.
Oh,
that
my
he was
goodness.
Giving.
Wow.
For us to be thinking about that.
Now we have multiple screens.
So
yes.
Far
yes.
From that now. We're Ooh. So much beyond that type of pollution. We're so much more intense with our pollution in our homes, with our smart TVs and our smart coffee pots and everything else that we have.
I mean, do you have dual monitors at your desk? Do you have a desktop with dual monitors?
I do not.
You don't. You have one monitor.
Well, I'm traveling quite a bit these days, and
okay.
I'm on my laptop. I actually don't have a desktop anymore.
Wow. Well, that's good. So you're not sitting and staring at your screen all day long, which a lot of us do.
A lot of us do.
Yes.
And it's a smart thing. You know, it's a smart thing to have a little protection on the screen. There are devices out there that will reduce the amount of leakage that is hitting you when you're sitting in front of a desktop. You know, it's not going to save the planet, but it's when I signed...
Save my brain.
Yes, right. It's going to help. You know, people often ask me, you know, I do book signings and at conferences, medical conference and things for docs. And I always sign the books the same way. Base hits win the ball game. That it's all of the little things that you're going to do that will protect you and your family and your children
okay.
from this toxic, toxic world that's getting so much worse. You know, when I came out in practice, the topic of autism was hardly known. I mean, it was one child in 10,000 were on the autism spectrum. Now, the current statistic coming from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is 1 out of 46.
Wow.
It was 1 in 10,000
wow.
40 years ago. Now it's 1 in 46 of yeah. our kids. And Stephanie Seneff, Dr. Seneff at MIT, she's a biostatistician at MIT. She shows us that by 2032, I think it is, 2032 or 2034, mm-hmm. it'll be every child.
Every child, I heard that, 2032. And that the number one diagnosis in the U.S. right now is chronic anxiety. The number one diagnosis. These are all mental illnesses.
Exactly. God. That our brains are just being thrown into haywire. You know, and I'm not using technical terms here, but there was a great, I read about this great experiment that kids did in a grade school. I think it was an eighth grade class. And one child's job was to go to the hardware store and buy some garden soil. Somebody else had to buy the trays. Someone else bought seeds, vegetable seeds. And then the project was they took two trays, put the same soil in both trays, put the same seeds, planted the same seeds in both of them, watered them the same. One went in a classroom by the window. The other went in a classroom by the window, but also by a wireless router. And as the weeks went by, the kids were just watching it and watching it and watching it. And the one that was by the window started to sprout. The seed started to sprout. But the one that was by the window next to the wireless router never sprouted.
Wow.
Not one seed came up. And with the other one, the sprouts grew and the, you know, the plants started to come out and the kids were watching. But the other one, it didn't sprout at all. And if there ever was just a simple example of why we should never have wireless networks in schools, that was it.
Try this at home. This is one of those things you should try at home. My goodness.
It's so easy to do.
Yes.
Two different rooms, but accommodate the same amount of lighting. And just watch what happens. And I mean, of course we want technology to improve. Of course we do. But you can hardwire in your home. And you plug your computer into the wall so that you're not using a wireless. I mean, that's the goal that we all...
So it's not wireless. Or I've seen these EM-free, the electromagnetic-free canopies, like these bags, that you like tents that you can sleep in that are EMF protectant. Have you...
Yeah, it's almost like a mosquito net in a tropical climate. You know, we've seen those in movies where, you know, they hang over the bed and you can
right.
see out when you're in there, but it's stopping the mosquitoes from getting in.
I wonder if you would sleep better if you slept in an EMF-free tent.
You know, I fly quite a bit, and
right.
you get a lot of exposure when you fly.
Right.
A lot of radiation exposure because, and most people know that if you go skiing, you know, as an example, or if you're up in the mountains, you really need to consider protection against the sun, because the same sun, the same day, if you're at 8,000 feet, that sun, you're much more likely to get sunburned than same day, same temperature, if you're at ground level, because there's less air filtering the radiation that comes from the sun. And that's it's solar radiation. So when you're up at 30,000 feet, 35,000 feet in a plane, you're in an aluminum box. Right. And the aluminum box does not filter out X-rays or radiation. So the solar radiation penetrates the box. And that's why pilots have the highest incidence of lymphoma of any profession. And flight attendants have the highest incidence of reproductive disorders and miscarriages of any profession. Because they're getting this radiation exposure all the day, all day.
I thought it was just through the right. Of course. Of course. So
and
we
the radiation it's the solar flares go in 11-year cycles, and they peak and then they start to come down again. 11 years later they peak. And if you're flying during the peak solar period,
oof.
You fly from New York to LA, you get the radiation exposure of 7 chest X-rays every time you fly. And at the low end of the scale of the 11-year cycle, it's between 2 and 3 chest X-rays every time you fly. That's how much radiation you get when you fly. So my wife and I, you know, I don't know if this is going to help or not, but it's one of those base hits, win the ball game.
Okay.
We have clothing that you bought, that we purchased, that has little metal radiation protection woven into the shirt and woven into the boxer shorts and woven into the socks. And so when we're at the airport, you know, we go in the bathroom and we change and we put these clothes on and underneath our shirt and our pants, because maybe it's going to help a little bit. I mean, I fly 150,000 miles a year.
Oh my goodness, that is a great idea. Wow.
If I can do a little base hit like that, maybe it's going to help, maybe not. You know, maybe the company's making some money off of me. Okay, but you know, I'm going to try it.
But the philosophy there, even if there's aluminum threading in the shirt, it doesn't act to magnify it. It actually protects it. You're not an antenna.
Well, it's not aluminum. It's silver.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Shirt. And so when you go through the metal detectors, you're gonna set them off. And so then. That's why we don't put the clothes on until after we go through security. You know, so they're just in the bag, in the roller bag.
Uh-huh.
And then we change after that, because it's a nuisance to be patted down every time you go through security.
Right, right. right. But that's, see, these are great solutions. Great.
Well, they're tips, and they just help a little bit. But what it requires is having that big picture view that base hits win the ball game. You don't have any immediate control over what you're exposed to when you're out in the world. You don't have any control. And this 5G network is going to be worse than ever.
There's not much question. Right. And it is already being rolled out. We're going to take a quick break, Tom. This is great. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back after the break. This is Tom O'Brien is my guest. And I am Lisa Garr, and you're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr. My guest is Dr. Tom O'Brien, who is really considered the Sherlock Holmes for chronic disease. He has been teaching that recognizing and addressing the underlying mechanisms that activate an immune response is really the way, the map to the highway towards better health. And we were talking a little bit about 5G before the break and the disruption in all radiation. And if it's higher frequencies from 5G or if it's from traveling in airplanes, there are a lot of solutions. And we want to get to also how this links to autoimmune dysfunction. But let's talk first about some of the solutions, Tom. We mentioned the silver clothing. There's an EMF-free canopy. There's different minerals that you can take that helps restore the body's natural defense system. Can you recommend other supplements or minerals or something that helps the body regulate these types of frequencies? Is there such a thing?
Well, there is. There is some evidence that magnesium, having adequate magnesium levels, can be very helpful and give a bit of protection. That's one of them. Most important is understanding where the exposures are coming from.
Okay.
You know, that is critically important. Studies have shown that if mom uses a cell phone two or three times a day during her pregnancy, and they looked at, I think it was 14,000 pregnancies. I'm not sure the number. That may be off. I don't remember the exact number. But if those moms that were using cell phones two or three times a day, their children had a much higher incidence of attention deficit and anxiety.
Wow.
By the age of seven, much higher, because the brains have developed differently, you know, and that's another example of just an environmental toxin that's overwhelmed the development of baby in utero. And I'm going to give you another example of that so that we can keep this in perspective, that it's not just one thing. There's a whole world out there of exposures we're getting. And they did a study a few years ago. They looked at 346 pregnant women. They collected their urine in the eighth month of pregnancy, and they tested them for the levels of phthalates in the urine. Phthalates are chemicals used to mold plastic. And most people have heard something about that. We've got a bunch of toxic chemicals in our body. Now, every newborn child in America has at least 200 different chemicals in their bloodstream that aren't supposed to be there at birth, because they're in mom's body as baby was developing.
Wow.
So they measured these phthalates, just five of them. There's hundreds of phthalates, but they measured five. And the one that most people are familiar with is BPA, or bisphenol A. We've heard about that with water bottles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the results of the urine tests of these pregnant women, eighth month of pregnancy, and they categorize them into quartiles, the lowest quartile, the next one, the third quartile, and the highest quartile. They then followed the children of those pregnancies, and when the children turned 7 years old, they did Wechsler IQ tests on them, the standard test for IQs. And what did they find? Every child. You know, there's not much in studies that's an all or an every, but this was every child.
Wow.
Every child whose mother was in the highest quartile of phthalates in the urine during pregnancy compared to the children whose mothers were in the lowest quartile, meaning they didn't have a whole lot of phthalates, but every child whose mother was in the highest quartile of phthalates in pregnancy, those children, their IQs were 7 points lower than the kids whose moms were in the lowest quartile of phthalates. 7 points. Now, it went between 6.7 to 7.4. Now, 1 point difference in IQ is noticeable. 7 points difference is a difference between a child working really hard getting straight A's and a child working really hard getting straight C's.
Gotcha.
They just don't have the neural network to think properly. It never developed because mom had these toxins, and there are many studies that show phthalates are inhibit neurogenesis, meaning nerve growth in the brain and in the body. If you have high levels of phthalates, you inhibit brain growth and nerve growth. That's called neurogenesis. Where do you get phthalates?
Plastic.
Nail polish.
Plastics.
Drinking water out of water bottles, plastic water bottles. If those plastic water bottles have sat in the sun, or maybe they sat on the loading dock for a number of hours with the sun shining on them, and nobody knows that. But the phthalates leach out of the plastic into the water. Plastic storage containers in your kitchen for the food. You put leftover chicken or leftover green beans in a plastic storage container. The next day, there's phthalates in the green beans.
Yikes.
Now, there's no evidence that the amount of phthalates that leach out of plastic containers into food is harmful to humans. That's how the industry gets away with this garbage.
That's what it said.
That's correct. There is no evidence. There is no evidence that that amount of phthalates is toxic to humans. But this stuff is accumulative in your body. It accumulates over the years.
Well, there is evidence.
That's
the 14,000 tested is evidence to me. That's evidence.
But that's the accumulative damage of being on the cell phone two, three times a day, every day during the pregnancy. You know, it's not one time on a cell phone that's a problem, but it just throws things out of balance a little bit. It inhibits just a little bit of nerve growth. And then the next day, a little bit of nerve growth. And this just accumulates and causes the damage that we get. Now, the problem, the first study that I read on this was 1982, that children living within a quarter mile of high-powered tension wires had higher incidences of leukemia. And I read that and I said, what?
I remember that.
The big power wires.
The big towers.
Sometimes. The big towers, right. If you live within a quarter mile of that, you're like in the buzz zone.
Quarter mile there.
Right. You know, and if you see, you watch television, sometimes you see these spy shows where if you want to avoid being tracked on your cell phone, you just go hang out under a high power tension wire and they can't find you. You know, you see stuff like that, that those high power tension wires, they interrupt with monitoring, they interrupt with electromagnetic frequencies. But that was 1982 that I saw that study. Now, take that concept, and now we've got studies just like that about cell phone towers. If you live near cell phone towers, the impact over time is very detrimental to kids and kids' brains.
The ones on roofs and the fake trees, all of them, right?
That's right. Exactly right.
Rooftops.
But now, what's going to happen with 5G? 5G is putting a cell phone tower out of every second or third house in a neighborhood. There'll be a mini cell phone tower all along the streets, every street.
And the reason for that is, why are there so many?
Because it's so much faster. Let's take the example of driverless cars.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that that's coming. It's not going to be that far in the future. They're here now.
Right.
There's thousands of them on the road already. You know, they're here, and there's going to be driverless trucks and all of that. And they're all controlled by 5G. They're all controlled by this powerful wireless network that's carrying the message. And so you can't have a quarter mile or a half mile from having the best reception if you're going to have a driverless car. You need to have that kind of control at all times so that there's instantaneous response. If someone runs out in front of a car or something, that car has to respond, process that information, and then make the decision to stop the car.
It's a whole infrastructure that's being built now, these little small cell emitters.
Exactly. Exactly. And the problem with that is that it's outside your bedroom window.
And the schools.
Not a quarter mile away anymore.
Yikes.
And so the projections are that we aren't going to have any kids who have normal functioning brains the way kids' brains were functioning in the 1970s or the 1980s, which is not that long ago.
Well, I did see by 2032 every child, but I did see on one of the documentaries in the 5G summit that you're in that being around a tree actually lessens that impact. It actually reduces it down to almost zero if you're actually near a tree.
Yes, yes, it's a filter. Filtering that out. You know, so that's true, but people can't stand under trees all day. You know, there are a few people who will be able to live in forests or have lots of trees in the neighborhood that may reduce, well, will reduce some of the penetration. It will, no question about it. But for the vast majority of the people, especially in neighborhoods that are not that wealthy, you know, where there aren't trees, so many trees around, in the city, you know, especially in the cities, it's going to get worse and worse. And it's unfortunate, you know, to hear this, and it's like a doomsday thing. It's like, wake up, everyone, wake up.
There's got to be things you can do. I mean, unplugging your wireless devices is a good idea. I mean, at night, don't sleep with it next to your head, obviously. I wonder if you could do house plants and indoor trees. I mean, just a thought.
Those things do help, absolutely. House plants also absorb toxins out of the air. So there's no question having plants in your home has a number of benefits. Plants absorb CO2. They produce oxygen. So you get more oxygen in your home. There's no question about those types of things. There's a checklist. Remember, base hits win the ball game. My wife and I, every night, we turn off the wireless before going to sleep. Who needs a wireless on? When you're sleeping.
You know, so you turn it off.
As I said, right, exactly, turn it off. And as I said earlier, ideal is to not have wireless, you know, be in a wired home. But we travel a lot, and so wherever we are, we do our best to turn off the wireless and put your phone on airplane mode while you're sleeping. Just little things that you can do that will make a difference. But the only way that I know of to stop some of this, the only way is for people to get just some base amount of education, listening to shows like yours and these kinds of interviews so that they have a little bit of a picture. They don't need to be an expert, but just know enough to say, wait a minute, I don't want this around my kids. And then talk to your congressmen and your legislators, the senators and your local representatives. And, you know, you take 20 minutes and you write an email to your representatives and say, this is not okay. I need you to protect us from this stuff. And, you know, one email, two emails may not make a difference, but when they get 500 in a day or in a week or a few thousand in a month, their assistants are saying, hi, we got 347 emails today on 5G. And then they start saying, okay, I'll listen to this. And at some point, hopefully, there is enough momentum to impacting these people that they become knowledgeable on the topic. I just did a Facebook Live on my network, you know, the dr.com. That's my URL. And we do Facebook Lives every Tuesday. And just last week, I did a Facebook Live with Josh Del Sol, who's hosting a 5G summit, and a state senator from Michigan. The guy was brilliant, and he said, look, you know, I'm as right can be, but on this topic of health for our constituency, this spans beyond any party line.
Right.
We all need to be aware of what this does. He said, my wife's a pediatrician, and she developed ringing in her ears. It's called tinnitus. And she went to the experts, and she knew the questions to ask. Where is this coming from? No one could tell them. No one could, and she was suffering with this. And one day there was a service person there at the home, and he mentioned that his wife had tinnitus, somehow came in conversation. The guy said, I've had other people, when they take the smart meter out of their house, their ringing in their ears goes away.
I've heard this. What? Yes, the smart meters.
What? And so they did that. They took the smart meter out. Her tinnitus was gone in 2 days. just gone.
Oh my goodness.
And the same senator, his father-in-law, had arrhythmia. That's when the heart doesn't beat properly, and the heart rate is altered. And he had to have a pacemaker put in to keep his heart beating regularly. They took a smart meter out of his home, and he didn't need a pacemaker anymore.
My God.
And this is a very smart, conservative, highly educated legislator who is not a fanatic in any way at all, but he saw in his family, bringing the ears went away because it was affecting her brain and her brain function.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a pediatrician. And the abnormal heartbeats went away, and the guy didn't need his pacemaker anymore.
That's fascinating. Anyone can look that up, and that is a huge piece. Those smart meters, and they're very close to usually people's bedrooms.
Yes.
Yeah. And that those can be eliminated, or they don't have to be installed. You can actually say, I do not want that installed. They don't have to be.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And once again, smart meters don't cause arrhythmias by themselves, or they don't cause tinnitus. But it's the accumulation of all these toxins that people are exposed to that eventually take them over the line. And here come their symptoms. So if you get rid of one of the big exposures, in this case, in this topic, smart meters, you get rid of the smart meter, and then your threshold comes down. You know, your resistance or your tolerance goes up a little so that you don't have the reaction anymore. So smart meter wasn't the cause of her tinnitus. It was just the straw that broke the camel's back. And when we understand this concept of the load of toxins that we're getting, from our structure, from our biochemistry, from the emotions and the people we hang out with, and the electromagnetics. When we understand that it's the accumulation of all of this that triggers the diseases that we get, then we understand this principle, base hits win the ball game.
Absolutely.
And that's how you win at this.
Yes.
That's how you win.
And we haven't even gotten into the whole gluten sensitivity and what that does and how it affects everybody and other foods sensitivities and so forth that really are pummeling our immune systems. It's, again, an accumulative effect. And you have a lot more to talk about that. So we're going to take another quick break, Tom. You have so much information about this. And the website, the best place to direct people is thedr.com. Is that the best place?
Right. Yes, thedr.com, thedoctor.com. Just don't spell the word doctor out.
You've had that website for a long time, thedr.com. That's great. And also, we're going to be talking more after the break about the autoimmune betrayal, the name of the movie, which is called Betrayal. And that's how our autoimmune system is betraying us and the various reasons why. And you can check that out at betrayaldocumentary.com. And we'll be right back, Tom. You good with that?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Hold on for us, and we will be back, and we'll be taking your calls shortly as well. This is Lisa Gar. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.